You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed can sometimes be accompanied by hand gestures, which your sister may find offensive, but you think are hilarious. There's one in every family. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your top-down, wind-in-your-hair, Saturday morning automotive thrill ride. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but right now, love us on Zoomer Radio.
Yee-haw! Good morning.
Good morning. That was harsh on my ears, Al.
My wife asked me if that's pre-recorded, and I said, no, we do it live every Saturday
every
morning.
Time.
Exactly.
Every time. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah. I said, the squealing of the tires, that is pre-recorded, but the yeehaw, that's us live.
It is.
And it's all about reliability and consistency, and that's why we're here.
That's right.
And that's going to segue into one of the things I wanted to talk about today, which will be car reliability.
Oh,
or I should
yes.
say lack of car reliability.
That happens from time to time, doesn't it?
Yeah. And just to quickly think, you know, just because you spend a lot of money for a vehicle, in fact, it could be one of the most expensive vehicles, does not necessarily get you reliability.
No, that's the thing. And, you know, we know people buy cars for all kinds of crazy reasons.
Yeah.
I like to say people will not take my advice because they saw a car and it was painted in a pretty blue.
Exactly. That has been the reply once, because I remember I did have a person come in and it was problem car. And I said, why did you buy this car? And that person said, I like the color. And that was the reply.
There we are. Yeah, point proven.
All right, we got a special guy in the studio.
We got a special guest today, Sam Carlegion, my pal from YouTube. If you haven't seen his stuff, visit YouTube, Sam Carlegion.
Well, thank you for having me back here. It was amazing the first time, and I'm happy to be back. Lots to talk. And talking about reliability, oh my God, that is a hot topic. I get messages daily from people, and that, you know, the way you said about the paint color and people choosing cars because they like the paint, you got to talk to sales guys in dealerships. There's so many stories they can tell you. Then I work with a lot of them, and it's so funny. People just walk in, and sometimes they just, hey, I like this one. I had a case with a DLR customer, a friend of mine, Mark, said to me, this lady walked in, saw the new Range Rover Sports SVR. Well, it's actually SV right now, and yes, she just liked the way it looked. This is a $200,000 car. And yeah, mind you, was a pre-production model, was a prototype. She couldn't even drive it. She walked in, and she goes, I like that. Put an order for me. Just like, because she liked it, the way it looked.
Well, listen, if you're going to buy a purse for $10,000...
Right.
Yeah, fair enough.
What's a $200,000 truck?
Nothing.
In fact, I only found out that recently because we're talking about that, and I went, how much? It's a purse?
Yes.
What does it do?
Yes.
Wait till Al finds out about watches being $300,000.
well, but that you can tell the time, you know?
It does the job. The same as with the $300 watch, $50 watch. But people don't buy it because it tells the time.
It's
a bit more than that, right?
I understand. Maybe because being a guy and being a technical guy, at least it has some function, you know?
Yes.
A purse is just a friggin' bag.
Well,
okay?
I don't know. I think women may have the same appreciation for handbags as men do for mechanical
right.
watches.
Oh, no question about it. No
absolutely.
Question about it. But then
we've got some agreement here in the studio.
Ashley's she's
nodding.
She's shaking her head. She's agreeing with us.
She would not say no to a $10,000 handbag.
No woman would say no to that. Trust me. They're just.
But I often wondered, is there $9,000 worth of cash inside? Like, give it some value, you know?
Put some gold in it or diamond or something like that. I say the same thing for watches. It's like, really, $30,000? Come on. There's no gold in there or something.
There you go. Speaking of watches, speaking of time, we've run out of it, and we got to take a break. You can hear the music in the background, but we've got all kinds of excitement for you. We'll be back just in a couple minutes. Bye-bye.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and our special guest, Sam Carlegion.
Yes, Sam Carlegion.
Yes, Sam, Al.
Let's start going back to reliability. I'll tell you.
Al's got a story.
Does he?
Okay. He's got a story.
Okay.
Well, you know, I've been hesitant to sort of really talk about it because I didn't want to get anybody in trouble.
Be careful and you throw under the bus.
Well, no, exactly.
They're watching and
I'm going to leave names out right now.
And relationships, maybe.
Yes, of course.
Someone you know.
Someone I know. So okay. I have some personal experience. I mean, I have not gotten involved, although I offered. I don't know what I can do, but nonetheless, this person I know has bought this high-end electric SUV, call it, and they've paid for 3 months worth of lease at this point, and they've driven it for I think 3 weeks. The rest of the time, the vehicle has been towed back to the big guy, the big M, but not the golden one, the one with a B beside it.
McDonald's?
No. It's been towed back 3 or 4 times now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've been nice. They've given her another vehicle used. You know,
that's good.
But not the one
they paid for.
No. In fact, the person I know sends me back the note that she gets from them. You know, saying this is what we're doing, and I'm going bullshit. You know, or I'm just not. You know. I don't know. Did they not know? Did they not have the technical ability? Do they not, you know, are they not getting the information they need? I don't know what the problems are.
Well, we're talking about a brand new EV, right?
Yes.
So it's brand new. So not a development of anything, just a brand new EV. So, of course, there's bound to be some issues with any brand new product.
It's the first. I tend to say to people, if it's the first model, it's the first year, kind of like steer away a bit from it because with time, companies try to fix these cars and the issues initially, and sometimes they rush into just, let's make this, let's just send it out there, let's just sell it and figure out the issues later. And they do this quite often because it's the market we live in right now where it's like, it has to be the first one. It has to be like the Range Rover that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Range Rover put a big statement in it saying, well, Land Rover in this case, saying that the 23-inch carbon fiber wheels are the first one ever used in a vehicle. Stuff like that. So
right.
Brands sometimes...
Was that going to be like, just by the way, if you have a problem with it, just so you know beforehand, is that?
I think it's more marketing than anything.
Marketing
else.
That it is.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a waiver.
No, it's like, it's just like marketing tactic of saying that we're the first ones to use carbon fiber wheels, but they don't tell you all the issues with carbon fiber wheels, which are super. Well, let's just say they're very risky sometimes, you know, with the roads in Toronto.
Okay.
And to fix them, they're very expensive and so on. But it's that marketing slogan that they put out there that I think, beautiful, absolutely beautiful machine, but carbon fiber wheels. And Brian knows he's in racing. He understands carbon fiber wheels very well. And using them for day-to-day, not the best one. But that's what I'm trying to say is that sometimes companies, they just rush into making a product. And we have seen that Tesla has done that. Can we call names?
Yeah, absolutely.
They have done this many, many times. Yeah. I mean, you can talk to many people that have had whether paint problems, they've had electrical issues and stuff like that because they rush into selling to making this because they want to be the first one to do that. It's the same thing with the Ford F-150 Lightning right now.
Yeah.
They've had some issues as well. Great truck, by the way. Amazing truck for being an EV. But they're like, we need to be the first one before Tesla does it or somebody else does it, right? And they rush into that. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the market that we live in right now. And unfortunately, people, they get excited. I mean, talking about trucks, the Cybertruck was just released finally after 6 years or whatever. Was it 6 years or something like that?
You know what? Tesla's a non-factor for me. I don't get excited about the product.
Nothing.
Because they're trying to be a tech company that builds cars and whatever.
Exactly,
and they rush these things to market. They're not driver-centric. They're not for drivers. They appeal to people who want to buy a piece of transportation that resembles their technology that they use on a day-to-day basis.
Like their cell phone, yeah.
Exactly. It's a toaster on wheels. I'm not interested in driving these things.
But that's the perfect example, right? Even them, when they did the first launch that was in the U.S., that he went with a hammer or something with a...
Smashed the window.
And it just failed right there. But that just shows you that they rush so much to build these vehicles, especially the first models, that they tend to make a lot of mistakes, but then they fix them with time.
Yeah. But generally speaking, I mean, these companies are run by committees, okay? Whether it's in financial or safety,
mm-hmm.
or styling, of course, and sales and marketing. These are huge billion-dollar, not corporations, of course,
yeah.
but decisions that they have to make.
That's right.
I mean, when they screw up, you know, and all of a sudden you have to bring back every vehicle that you made in that line.
Oh, yes.
That's billions of dollars.
It sure is.
We talked to Brian earlier. I've been in the business for many, many years, but I worked for Volkswagen back in the 70s. And when the Rabbit came out, you know, within months, all of a sudden there was problem after problem after problem. And they all were the same issue. And we would talk to each other and say, didn't they test these vehicles? I mean, you know, of course, North America is a different market, but Europe, for example, a lot of it was winter related issues, you know, rust and stuff like that, carburetor icing. You know, they have winter in Europe just the same way we have it in here. I thought they were driving them there. How did they not understand that there's going to be issues? You know, how important was it? Like, so you're saying that, you know, from the marketing perspective, they said, we got to get a better car. We got to come up with something new. And that was the voice that was heard. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, boy, it got them in the backside.
But that's the thing. You see, I reviewed the Acura NSX, and the story behind that car was that they basically told the marketing and sales company to go to the old one, not the new generation. They told the marketing and sales company, you guys take a break. We're going to let the engineers deal. And they made an absolute beautiful machine. But now it's gone the other way around, where it's like, let's talk to the sales, marketing, and the PR and all that stuff before we even get to the engineers. And it's just the way the market is right now, that everybody wants to be first and they just get it out there as soon as possible.
Yeah, the unfortunate part is you may be the first to buy a car and have it towed back to the dealer.
Every week.
Without pointing fingers. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Alan Gelman and special guest Sam Carlege, and we're just talking car nonsense this morning.
Exactly, and as much as I found the Consumer Report article this morning, actually. So this is how hot that was.
Yeah, this is new news.
Right, and generally speaking, you know, the manufacturers on their own, you know, are rate higher. I mean, so Lexus and Toyota is generally very high. Most of the Japanese imports are. As opposed to the other vehicles further down on the list. But Sam, you had an issue with a car that really should have been at the top of the list and never gone to the shop.
I tell people they're like, that's not possible. I'm like, listen, I actually have videos. This is what I do for a living. So right. I'm like, you need to understand, like, it's a true story. It's not a lie. But anyhow, I purchased last year a Lexus IS 500. Now, knowing Lexus, you would expect bulletproof.
100%.
Like 10-10, right?
Yep.
So the second day the car got home, I purchased in Kingston, Ontario, I drove home, second day, engine light.
Sorry, let me back up. Is it a new car or a used car?
New car.
Brand new.
New car.
Okay.
This car had 300 kilometers. Now, I will say this. Sometimes brand new cars tend to do a little bit of, bring out some of the issues initially at like 500 kilometers.
Sure.
But then with time, they just go away. So I thought to myself, okay, maybe this is one of those cases where the car is just acting up, just a hiccup kind of thing, just for a couple of days. Nope, 3 days passed, 4 days, 5 days. So I went to a dealership, and they said, oh, we've cleared the code. Of course they cleared
the code.
I have an OBD reader. I can do that myself. So anyways, I come home. I was like, okay, maybe they figure out something. Engine light the second day, back again.
Right.
I went back to the same dealership. They said, no, we don't know what it is. You just got to leave it here. And thankfully, I had press car, so I didn't need a car at that.
Right.
I'm lucky, right? We're lucky, Brian.
Yeah, we're fortunate
but
that way.
Stressful.
But you bought the car.
Exactly, brand new. So I went back. They called me and they said, hey, we think we figured out the problem and now it should go away. And I'm like, okay. Come back again 4 days later, same thing. And mind you, I didn't push the car or any of that because I had this discussion where people say, well, you just, you know, hammered the car. I didn't.
Right, you drive the daylights out of it. You broke it.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm like, no, I have other cars to take care of before I can deal with that. So anyhow, third time, same issue. Went back. They couldn't figure out. So I decided to do a bit of a digging myself, and I figured out what the issue was through the U.S. because they, of course, Brian knows, is get the cars way earlier than we do.
Well, right. I had we talked about this before you bought
before
the car.
It, yeah, and I watched your video, by the way.
Right. So I spent a lot of time with that car in Southern California, driving all over L.A. Like I put hundreds of miles on that
exactly.
car. And you know, as you know, I've got a great road in Southern California,
and I
don't drive slowly there. Car was just absolutely brilliant, and I drove it back and forth between L.A. and Orange County. Car was absolutely perfect. Maybe had a couple thousand miles on it, but I really enjoyed the car.
But you see, that's the case, and I think after I went back to a different dealership, the mechanics there, they're trying to figure out run. So I called up the mechanic and I said, listen. you got to check this and this and this, was essentially the gasket underneath for the exhaust system, and it was just leaking and the computer was just acting up, but they couldn't figure out because the gap was so small that the naked eye couldn't, like, you'd have to actually measure it, right?
Now, that was information that you'd gotten.
So
yourself.
I researched it.
Yes.
But the thing is that mechanics have to follow a step by step. He explained it to me. He said, we have to follow step by step by Toyota, Lexus in this case, before we even get to the issue, because we have to eliminate these first before we get there. But then I told him that. He's like, okay, them actually might. That makes sense. So they fixed that. That took about a month. And this was like right after COVID kind of thing, because companies were having issues with parts and whatever. Then they fixed that. Next one, ECU, it's going insane. I go back there. They do a checkup. And same day I bring my car, there's another Lexus IS500 limited edition from my good friend Steven. He said, same issue, exhaust and ECU to be replaced. So to Toyota's and Lexus' defense in this case, I will have to say that because of COVID, apparently there was some sort of switch up. They changed suppliers.
Okay.
And the issue. Now, that's the backstory, which is not confirmed yet, but there seems like, you know, leaking happening around and people are just talking about it. So this was around the forum, right, for Lexus, and everybody was, there was a guy from a dealership that said, yes, this Toyota should call for a recall on this thing. There's a major issue, so many cars, but they never actually did as far as I'm aware. But the moral story is that sometimes you think that the brand is going to be so reliable and you bet on that, that the car is going to be so reliable, yet you end up being having a car that is so unreliable. You'd think that a BMW M3 would be so unreliable. I had one as well, absolutely bulletproof. And this was a car that was heavily modified by the previous owner. I purchased the stock, and it was solid. The only thing I had to do was mostly increase the height of the vehicle because, of course, some of these guys love lowering that.
Right.
But that was owner's fault. It wasn't necessarily the car. But and I also think that because this IS500 in some ways was the first of its generation, although it is essentially a backup or a restart from the ISF, similar engine and so on.
Right. But I think what's funny is the issues have everything to do with it being an IS500 and it being a lower volume car. Right?
Yeah.
So the ECU specific to that car, the entire exhaust system is specific to that car as well. So, it's a low volume specialty car. I don't think I've seen one since on the road.
There's I sold it, and the day I sold it, I sold it after 2 months.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
did they put a new computer in it?
No, they didn't. I managed to get rid of it before they did it because it was taking months to arrive. But the car kind of went back to normal, but I'm sure the next owner that got it. But again, it's under warranty, I didn't have to worry about it. And it was a Toyota dealership that just bought it off me for the same money that I paid 2 months before that. And I lost zero money on it, which is the great news, right?
Yes, I would never expect to hear that.
That was the best part of the entire experience.
We have another Lexus owner that lost big time.
on this show.
RX. Yes, okay. Yes. It was reliable. You could rely on it being stolen. That was the one thing you could rely on. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and Sam Carlegian. We're just having fun talking car stuff today.
Love that car.
Actually, we didn't talk. Maybe I know Sam's been here before, but I'm just meeting him for the first time. Why don't you tell our listeners, what do you do?
I am what you call today YouTuber, influencer, car influencer. I mean, even if you write articles about cars, you are in some ways influencing people. So you'd call that an influencer as well. Mm-hmm. And that's how Brian and I met through picking up different cars.
We met in L.A.
The first time. Yep. We were at a Hyundai event, I believe. It was an awesome day, track day, a bit rainy.
Yeah.
We had a great time, and we started the conversation there. But this is what I do. My job is essentially to drive the cars for a week, do reviews, comparisons. We tend to do what you'd call drag racing, legally done, not street racing, which, of course, it's not legal. Why we use our own place with insurance and everything to make sure that everybody is covered, but also the cars are covered in some ways.
So basically, is the whole idea of that being that, you know, if people want to know, you know, is this car going to be faster than this other one?
Yeah, sometimes people, like when it comes to that part, it's you get to learn a bit more about the car on a straight line rather than track, which is something that Brian would do because I'm not really the guy for track days. I love tracking, but I'm not that experienced, to be honest.
I can help you with that.
We will talk about that in the future, maybe because there is a track around that area. But essentially, we have moved from the written articles to like the YouTube side, and people are... these days, they focus so much on YouTube when they buy a car. And I get this daily. Oh, I bought this car because I watched your video.
Yep.
I bought my IS500 because I watched his video because I hadn't driven it. I watched his – I read
– I kind of read into that and I thought, did he just throw Brian under the bus? He
says, no.
Yeah.
Because Brian loved his car. He went and bought one, and it was a lemon.
No, but you know, it's a difference of opinion. It's not necessarily because he's wrong. But I appreciated his feedback during that. I watched the entire video because I hadn't driven the car, and Brian had driven, and we spoke as well. He's like, listen, it's this and that, and also whatever he said in video. But the way this is how we work on YouTube, and we have YouTube, what's called revenue sharing, where we share the revenue with YouTube plus sponsors and so on. And YouTube is a great platform, in my opinion, for that, because it has made, has given me this chance to enjoy incredible cars on a weekly basis and meet amazing people and do what I love, which is videos and cars. And I love that.
Right.
Just talking about cars all day. I could be talking about cars here with Brian all day long.
But as an influencer, I mean, do you feel any responsibility, or does somebody come back and say, you have to be an honorable guy, you have to tell the truth, or... you know, what's your objective here?
Well, I'm sure Sam gets it just as I do. So people will comment, and you know, I'm the last person to oversell a car. I am literally the last
people
person.
People will smell that, though.
And
sometimes they'll be like, okay, are you a car salesman?
But exactly. It's who's paying you? Who are you working for?
That's exactly the question. And it's like, okay, well, you know, at this point, if you don't understand how this world works, how it actually works is we pick up a car from a manufacturer, unless I'm in LA and they deliver it to me, unlike here. We drive it. We're provided the car at no expense, but we have to fuel it. And we have to be responsible for it, obviously. But that's as far as it goes. It doesn't go any more than that. And of course, just like you, Sam, people will say, well, you're a shill for the manufacturer. It's like that's the last thing I am.
Didn't you have a problem, though, where there was a car that you weren't really crazy about, and you happen to mention it, and that manufacturer said, we're not giving you cars anymore.
Everyone has had that issue.
Oh, yeah. So they
want you to like their car.
Yeah, and it was a case of the PR manager being thin-skinned. So if you look at my YouTube channel, and look at the last 3 years and see which manufacturer's vehicles I should be driving, which suits my driving style, that is absent for the channel, you can put two and two together and figure it out, and it has to do with a thin-skinned PR manager here in Canada.
Sometimes you get those PR managers where, generally speaking, they're amazing people. They're trying to do their job 9 to 5. They don't want the hassle. They don't want the problem. But you get these managers that tend to take it personally in many ways. But I also want to say that today, and I think Brian could agree on this, I'm not sure, but I'd say that a lot of cars are very similar. So it's very hard to criticize a car to the point where you say, I hate this thing.
It's
very, very hard because they're very similar in many ways. But there's things that you don't like about the car that you mentioned. But sometimes some brands, without mentioning names, they tend to take that too personally. It says, well, I still have to do my job and say to people, hey, you know what? I'm 6'2". I can't fit in the back of this thing.
Right.
Exactly.
So what do you want me to do? To go like this? And that's the problem. And sometimes viewers also, and I want to go back to the viewers, that they take this personally. Sorry, you don't work for the brand. You don't own the brand. You need to respect the fact that I'm calling them out to give you a better product.
Well, that's sure, because this is a car test. This is not an infomercial.
No.
People say, like, when I do a comparison, oh, you got paid by this brand.
Right.
First of all, and Brian knows this, we don't get paid by the brands. That's conflict of interest. That's bribery. You name it. Put all the words. That never happens. You know who gets paid? Someone that does traveling as their as an influencer, right? Mm-hmm. They get paid to promote a certain cause.
Right.
We're not necessarily the full term of influencer. We don't get paid by any of the brands. What they do pay, and we can disclose that, is when we go to their event.
Our travel,
which of course they have to. Mm-hmm. I'm coming all the way from Canada, going to Japan or Germany or the UK or the US.
Right.
Why would I pay out of my pocket for an event that you decided to have there? So that's essentially, it's not money in our pocket. It's just them making our life a bit more convenient, or like helping us go there.
And of course, if they were right in terms of, you know, they designed a great car, a beautiful car, well, then the review is going
to
be good.
But they also don't want to expect, when you go to their events, they don't expect you to be like completely harsh. And sometimes when you go to these events...
No, but fair at the same time.
Fair, absolutely. Yeah. But they accept criticism and say, and they appreciate. I've had a PR manager where they say, hey, Sam, I actually like, that's a good point. We should engineer the same thing. Hey, what if we fix this? Move it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they take that. But there's some people, like journalists, that sometimes they go really hardcore where they criticize so much that, mm-hmm. honestly, you're also disrespecting these engineers and designers behind the car.
That's exactly it. And you know, a lot of manufacturers have really good dynamics engineers, for example. So
exactly.
the guys that look after all the handling and all of those systems. And a lot of those guys and gals are racers too. So I know them from the racing world.
And
you know, they have their own constraints and everything else, but they have to go through the development of these cars.
Absolutely.
And you know, they're genuinely committed to turning out a fine product. And in terms of influencers, I have to say there's a colleague of ours that is doing branded promotions right now with a car maker.
I'm against that, to be honest.
I am too. It's like how can you then genuinely review these two particular product lines?
I don't agree with that at all. I've had cases where, without mentioning names, I've had some new brands come to me and say, "Hey, we'll pay you this much money. Do you want to do this?" And I say, I will not do that. I had one brand, I'm not going to mention the name because, of course, signed documents, but they said, can you talk positively for this car? I said, I haven't seen this car in person. I haven't driven it. No, I will not be talking about that. But I said, here's what we can do. We can sort of tell people that, hey, this new model from this X company is coming out. Check it out in person. I said, I'm okay with it. And I'm okay to take 70% off what you offered me, mm-hmm. just so that we can work together, right? But I'm not going to tell people that this is a great machine because I haven't seen it in person. Nobody knows. I'm like, first, you're a brand new company. We don't even know. So they didn't like that. They took them about 2 weeks to come back to me and say, okay, so what's your strategy? Like, how you want to go about this? And I said, here's what we do. We show them a little bit that this new model is coming to Canada, mm-hmm. and you can check it out at this place. It has these tech features, which I could actually see, and you have them on the list. And that's it. I'm not telling them to buy this car. I'm not telling them anything. But they were so pushy in the sense that they wanted me to go out there and say, this is the best car ever. I will never do that. I don't care who you are. And even if you ban me from taking your cars, I will never do that because my loyalty is to my viewers. And it is important because my name is behind every video. And sometimes we don't get it right, right? Sometimes we make a mistake that you go back into, like there's a car that I can talk about or that I want to go back to and revisit and say, maybe I was little bit harsh into that because mm-hmm. with time you realize that and you make mistakes because we're humans, right?
Right.
It's a normal thing to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
And I sometimes just say to people, listen, check every video. Don't just watch Sam Carlegian. Watch everybody because Brian has a different opinion. Al has a different opinion. And it comes down to who you agree the most with. And as someone that buys a lot of things because of YouTube, like tech for my phone, for my cameras, I tend to watch a lot of YouTubers
exactly.
until I make up my opinion about this product. And I say, I actually like this or I don't like this.
Yeah. Well, it's important. The same thing when you're looking at the ratings, you know, whether it's a restaurant or a car, any kind of service.
Essentially the same.
You know?
Yep. That's...
And generally, in fact, we had some friends over and they were looking at a doc, you know, Rate My Doctor.
Oh, yes.
and they got referred to a guy and they went to the Rate My Doctor and it was like, 90% of people didn't like the guy. So she went back to her. The referring one said, why did you send me? You didn't go to that site, did you? But the same thing is that, you know, who complains more? Who's more vociferous? It's the complainers that are one complaining.
That's right.
In fact, I just saw something like that where some restaurant got trashed, I think, and they turned around and that restaurant went and looked at that person's personal page.
Yes.
They bashed every place or every service that they ever got. So obviously, this is like a person with a really bad,
yeah,
you know, attitude, and someone who's trying to get something for nothing. And let's just disregard, you know.
Yeah, nah, that's never good.
Anyway,
that's never good.
What we can't disregard is the sound of the music in the background. We got to jump, and we'll be right back. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Alan Gilman and special guest Sam Carlegion in the studio today. And it's a rainy Saturday.
And I was supposed to do a video today.
That's not happening.
Tomorrow.
It's not
3 days in a row. And
yeah, if I can complain, I had a mic failure on a shoot
those.
The other day. So I've got to reshoot half an episode at some point before Monday.
Oh, you didn't know?
Did not know.
Sometimes it's very hard to tell. Like if you look at the screen, the audio works.
Yes.
But then you get home and you look at it, it's like nothing, or it's just distorted completely. I've had scenarios. I had a vehicle that I was supposed to review, and it was like the first time driving and all of that. The entire audio was gone. There's nothing in there, just the video. So I messaged the person, the PR person. I said, hey, let me show you a quick clip, and you tell me if I'm lying or anything. I was like, oh, don't worry. We'll book it again. Just never happen again. But
right.
It just hurts, right? Because you spend the whole day.
You spend all the time doing the research, putting everything together.
So disappointing.
And let alone the time and the energy to film the episode.
Oh.
I couldn't figure out what happened in a recent episode, and I rescued the audio as much as possible, and I realize what happened now. I had my phone connected to the infotainment system, and it actually recorded through the car. So my audio, I record audio to my phone. It actually recorded the audio through the car, so it sounds like I'm on a phone call.
Oh, well, you know, and what about Zoom recorders are really good,
and
they're not expensive.
No, I have several of them.
should have brought them along.
Well, you know,
but it's not charged.
But it's technology, though. Like, technology can fail. It doesn't matter.
But then you have a backup, and then you could sync it.
I have a great system. Been doing this for a long time. I have redundancy, but I didn't realize that was happening with the car. So I ended up with the audio recording. Everything was looking great, but it was recording through the microphones in the car.
And that's why cars have spare tires, okay?
Yeah. So anyway, I rescued the audio as much as possible. I'm running the episode in a couple of weeks, and it is what it is. But yeah, it was less than ideal.
Well, again, you know, you could give that message beforehand. By the way, if something sounds a little bit weird today, this is what happened.
I think I got to do that, and because it's passable, but and thankfully there's great technology that can fix audio.
Yes,
but there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, I've had the case one time, but the audio, the mic actually records inside. It has an SD card that can do that.
Yeah.
But even that, because the audio wasn't captured from the main microphone, captured nothing. So sometimes technology, even the backup, doesn't really work as a backup. You think it's a backup, but it just doesn't work. It's just one of those cases.
Yeah, I've got backups for my backups, and you know, if I have a failure sometimes, I'm fine. It's, you know, it's a pain, but I can deal with it. In this case, it was a question of not knowing until I looked at the audio files a couple weeks later, and I'm like, oh no.
But, that hurts.
You know, that's how it goes.
Stuff happens. But,
yeah, well, we're, you know, Sam and I are spoiled with driving new cars all the time. So it's, you know.
That's one of the things, I think, one of the perks of doing that. And people ask me all the time, they say, well, do you get excited? I'm like, I get excited the first day I pick it up. And then after that, it's just the car. But there's some cars out there that I am excited. But I've gotten to the point now that if I've driven one brand too many of their cars and they release a new car that has similarities to one of their models, I know exactly how it drives. And people are like, there's no way you're able to tell. I know exactly how it drives.
We can do the reviews blindfolded.
Blindfolded, because you know how that feels, how it goes around the corner, how comfortable it is, and technology and so on. So you get to the point. But, you know, we are blessed in many ways, because I get this, and Brian, I'm sure, does too, that people tell us, you're so lucky because it's my dream job. I want to do this. And it is, in some ways, a dream job for a lot of people. Like, I read an article lately. They said that they asked a bunch of students from high school what they wanted to be And a lot of them said YouTubers, which is absolutely insane to think that 15 years, 20 years ago, they were all thinking about astronaut, doctors, engineers, lawyers, whatever. Now they're like, I want to be an influencer, which...
But that in itself, sorry, it scares me because we talked about people who are influencers that get paid to promote a product.
Oh, sure.
And they don't necessarily make that disclaimer beforehand. I mean, it's usually pretty obvious as opposed to yourself calling yourself, using the... What's it called?
Influencer?
An influencer.
You're an influencer now, Al.
like I say, there's no badge. There's no code of ethics necessarily. It's a pretty broad brush.
It is. And you know, if we go back to the Tesla Cybertruck launch this week, for the first time, they've engaged influencers.
That I was shocked about that because usually they just invite a bunch of tech guys and they just let them go wild. Yes, but this time they invite journalists.
Yeah, so YouTube is filled with these. And, you know, given the relationship that automotive media has with Tesla, it's a bit contentious. So to be given early access to a Tesla, you're probably going to be a little bit more favorable in your opinion on the thing.
That was shocking to me because Tesla tends to do things totally different from the regular manufacturers. But one thing that I could say is that they're getting sort of desperate in some ways because they couldn't get the coverage before, and now they're saying, well, wait a minute, we got people that actually listen to these journalists, which have been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of new in this, but Brian has been doing this for a long time. Many others have been doing it for longer than I, mm-hmm. but they didn't understand that before. They just invited all these tech guys, but the thing is that the market for them, it's getting so there's so many cars out there that can compete with the Cybertruck, even though it makes it look cool and blah blah blah. There's, you know, the F-150 right now. There's the Chevy ones. There's the Stellantis models that are going to come out, so on. So they know they're not the preferred brand at this point in terms of that model. So they're pushing towards the influencer side so they can get the word out and have all these people listen to them. But the problem with that is that if the first time driving it, sometimes some journalists tend to be a bit more pro this model. They say, mm-hmm. this is great, don't buy it right now, and so on. But again, viewers, I think they understand that. They see that and say, well, they do expect a bit of that positive review because they spent all this money to accommodate all these journalists and YouTubers. Therefore, there's a bit of that positive. But there's some out there that are literally car salesmen, which absolutely blows my mind.
It's so true.
Say something negative about this car because I can already see that door will not close if you don't slam it. So, you know, things like that. And it's just, even when I go to events, sometimes I do end up criticizing certain things that I think are not right or the price is too high, mm-hmm. and so on. And I think PR managers understand that, but they're so desperate for that Tesla love, some journalists, and they just make this thing the best thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
Well, question too, though. I mean, if you have to do a comparison between the Lightning, for example, the Ford electric pickup truck, and the Tesla, I mean, we're talking about at least a $50,000 price
difference.
Oh, yeah.
It's
so if you're looking for a work truck, why?
Well, the Cybertruck is not a work
truck. It's not a work truck. Like,
you. Well, no, but I'm just saying, you know, you want to – so what is it?
It's a status symbol.
Yeah. It's exactly that. You can ask Tesla owners. Some of them will tell you, right, well, I like the brand.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's just because Tesla was so expensive that if you owned a Tesla, mm-hmm. meant that you had money, you had, you know, some sort of level in society and so on, and they wanted to show off. And now they're realizing it's like, oh, my God, that was really expensive because this brand just brought out the same for the same price. And, oh, my goodness, it's like interior is amazing and so on. So now they're seeing that, but it's too late. You already spent $200,000 on a Model 3 kind of thing in some countries.
Can I not load my my jet ski on the back or what?
Generally not, no.
Has anyone actually done that test yet? Because yeah. it might be one of those tests that they did the first time with the metal ball they threw at the glass, and this could be another one.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
But that's the thing. You need the people to do that, and we are the ones to do that and show, hey, you know what? You can actually tow with this thing, hopefully.
And money ain't everything.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is Dave Score Garage. Speaking of money, we got to go save some or try to make some. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Alan Gelman and special guest Sam Carlegion. And Sam, I, you know, there's one thing I get all the time, and that's, you know, either not YouTube viewers, but you know, people I know, whether it's friends or family, and you know, they ask me what I think about a particular car. I'm at the point now where I ask if they're looking for advice or validation. Because more often than not, someone is looking for me to validate their new car purchase.
So in other words, they've already bought the car.
Yes.
And they're just hoping now. They're
hoping that,
I
share
it.
Their opinion.
I get that a lot. And I can read people's faces when they're talking a little bit. So I'm like, you have actually made the decision. You're just going back to the validation.
So why
right?
are you wasting
why
my
you
time?
Wasting my, you have already made your mind. Because, yeah. Or sometimes I'd start a conversation with them about the model that they want. And I'm telling them all this like positive things and the negative things. And they're pushing their argument more so on the positive side without taking consideration the negative side of this car. They're just, but it does have this though. And I'm like, yeah, but it does not do
this. Well, see,
this.
They have to justify their purchase.
But that's,
and they don't want to look silly by...
At that point, yeah. They've made a decision. Again, going back to what I said at the beginning, if you go and talk to the sales guys at dealerships, yeah. They'll tell you stories like crazy. And there's cases that I've been through where the sales guy knows very little about the car, but he's a salesman.
Right.
I had this dealership without naming... and I was filming a video from them. This was when I was started first. Mm-hmm. And the customer walked in, saw this specific model, talked to one of the sales guys, and he kept going back to the manager to ask for stuff. So they came out and they saw me picking up this car with my cameras and all that. They're like, what are you doing? I said, well, YouTuber. And the conversation started. I said, what do you think about this? Because I need this three-row SUV, but this guy can't answer. And I was like, listen, let me finish my video. I'll come back and we'll talk. Because I had done the research the beginning, and I ended up selling him a car.
You sold him a car.
I did sell him yes. the car. Wait, I was positive in a sense that here's the great things about it, but there's some negative things. And he looked at it and he goes, you know what? That actually makes sense. And he liked it. He had moved from Vancouver to Toronto. He had a minivan and he wanted a three-row SUV because we don't actually need this massive space. I said to him, it's a waste of money buying a new one. I'm like, this thing just does it. But it's one of those people, going back to, he had made up his mind that he wanted a new car and nothing could stop him from that. So I said, okay, sure, you've had the same brand for a while, you like them, I think the three SUV would be great. And he walked in and told the sales guy, you know what, place an order for me for this one and I'll trade in my my minivan.
We good friend John Walaszczuk, car salesman, but he always said that, you know, when you're looking to buy a vehicle that you're using 90% of the time, not one that you're only using 10% of the time. So in other words, I don't need this big, you know, thing that's going to haul my boat because I only use it twice a year. You know, take it in the water and put it back in the water.
So buy
something that's more practical.
I love those people that buy pickup trucks because of that.
Right.
Oh,
I had a Ford Focus RS in 2018, one of my favorite cars ever, ever in terms of hatchbacks. Absolutely beautiful, 6-speed manual, whatever. Getting back to the person that bought it from me, he was that perfect example. He had bought a pickup truck thinking that he needed it.
Right.
And realized he wasn't married. He was mostly on the road because he was a truck driver, and he didn't actually need any support for his big truck, big rig, because he had someone doing that.
Right.
But he's like, I have this massive truck just sitting in my house costing me thousands of dollars every month, and also I never drive, and I never tow anything, he said. If I do, I said, yeah, you can rent. There is rental companies that you can rent a truck. And, you know, that's why I bought a station wagon instead of buying a three-row SUV, because I don't need it.
Right. But, and of course, look at the gas consumption. I mean, you're going to be driving it every day.
That's it.
Yeah. Huge difference.
Yes. And, you know, wagons, that's another thing. Wagons make so much sense.
But in
North America, people don't like wagons.
They think they need more space, but they don't.
They don't.
My wagon can carry, I would say, pretty much the same amount of things than a SUV. Actually, a little bit more in many cases because it's so deep inside.
That's right.
And it's high. So I have all my equipment, which is quite a lot of boxes, and I have my son's stroller, the bassinet, and a bunch of things, and I still have space. And if I want more space, guess what? $600, you put a box at the top, and you got yourself more space. You lock it, and you're done. But it's because people think, I need this big SUV to fit. I will say I've seen people with three-row SUVs on the highway. It's only them driving.
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
So, Sam, some great information. And, you know, you sound up a straight-up guy, and you tell it as it is. How do people find you?
I have social media. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. My videos are different on TikTok and Instagram. It's mostly shorts, you know, new car came out, just showing up. But then you can go to Sam Car Legion on Instagram. Same thing on TikTok. YouTube is where I publish proper reviews. We have a team that I have two guys that work with me. I have also a video editor, and sometimes I do that work myself. Depends on the project. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Not a big fan of Facebook. They're just not my...
Now, the other thing, too, is, you know, people realize, and Brian always says, if you've got a comment, put it down below. You read those comments and you actually reply.
All the time.
Yeah.
I do. And even the bad ones. Actually, one comment today, which was kind of annoying to me, they said, do not trust Canadians on their opinions. And I said, I commented and I realized, I'm like, this is so bad. So I reported it. But YouTube didn't take it down right away, and it was just there. And he replied back and started getting political and all that stuff. So trying to say that I reply to a lot of comments because I like to engage with my viewers and you know, if they have an issue. But there is also the trolls and people that just want to pick up a fight, or they're just having a miserable day.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah.
Brian knows this. We don't pay attention that much, but we want to answer to the real people that have real questions.
And it's great. I love it when they reach out by email because they've got to take that extra step.
Yes.
And it's great having those conversations.
I love the emails because they just make it a bit more personal.
I just wanted to make a quick caveat too, though, to say that, as you guys both mentioned, you're driving brand new vehicles.
Yes.
Right?
We're spoiled.
So in terms of if you're an owner, you're hoping for a long term, right?
Yes.
So keeping in mind that was a new car, there are other reviews out there, whether magazines or other.
Yes.
So check multiples, eh?
Absolutely. Always. I say this all the time. Not just my video. Watch everyone. And that is an amazing point. There is actually sometimes companies land these cars for long term.
All right. We got to run. Got the word from Ashy. Either that or we just got a touchdown. I'm not sure which one. Ladies and gentlemen, drive safe. We'll see you next week. This was Dave's Corner Garage. Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.